just when you thought there was no hope for baby boomers. It's the Rational Boomer Podcast. Logic. Common sense. Compassion. Yeah, who knew? Now, here's Mike.
We are back on the Rational Boomer Podcast. Hopefully your day is going well. It's Saturday. We're into the weekend after a pretty busy week, and I suspect next week is going to be even busier. A lot of stuff happening. We'll talk about it on this Rational Boomer Podcast. I wanted to let you know, too, on Sunday I'm going to Georgia, and I'll be there till Friday. But we'll still do the Rational Boomer Podcast. I'll still do the TikToks. Even though I'm away, I'm still working. I love doing it, so that's not a problem. And I know you guys expect it. So I feel a responsibility to be here when you come to listen in the morning, the afternoon, or the evening, whenever you happen to listen. All right, we're going to start this podcast out with a couple of emails and one DM. This is a DM that came from Facebook, and it comes from a lady by the name of Carrie. And I wanted to address this because other people have asked me about it. I really don't pay it much mind, but let's talk about it. Carrie says, "Hello, I listen to you on TikTok every day. I search for your TikToks and watch all of them if they don't come up. I hope that none of the Trumplafucks would seek you out to harm you. You were talking about how Alvin Bragg has protection, and then I realized someone could look for you. Please stay safe. I agree with everything you say and always appreciate your insight. I just fear that if you insult them directly, they might get violent with you. Take care, and thank you for your daily updates." Now, there's two kinds of people that make that comment to me. Carrie is the first kind, who's genuinely concerned about my safety. But the other kind are the kind of quasi-Trumplafucks who just want me to shut up. So they'll kind of passive-aggressively try to scare me so I shut up. Now, in the case with Carrie, she seems very genuine and she seems concerned for my safety. And let me explain something to you. When I started doing TikToks, after I engaged with some Trumplafucks, I realized it was fruitless, so I stopped doing it. And then I proceeded to block every Trumplafuck or anybody with a negative attitude that came on TikTok. I have literally blocked thousands of these Trumplafucks. Now, I knew there was no winning or losing with arguing with them, so it was a big waste of time, and I had better things to do with my time. I also knew that if I let them talk and let them stay, I was putting my platform at risk, and my platform and the people who listen of a like mind are more important to me than getting in a shit show with some dumb Trumplafuck. Now, there are other people that do what I do on TikTok, and they will frequently say, "Well, I got another death threat." I'm going to tell you this. I've never gotten a death threat. I don't get my videos taken down, and I don't get banned. And it's because I pretty much shut out all of the Trumplafucks. Again, it's not that I fear them so much. It's that I don't want them fucking up the platform. And fortunately, I've been right in the way of I've handled it so far, and there are no problems. Here's what you have to understand, Carrie. Trumplafucks aren't tough guys. They're bullies, and bullies are cowards. I've dealt with many cowards in my life. When I was a young kid, I got bullied now and again, and then I finally struck out, beat a couple of them up, and then it was all pretty much over because I wasn't an easy mark anymore. There was some question as to how they would do if they bullied me again, so they left me alone. I got bigger, I played some sports, I got a little reputation, and then at that point I never had to fight again because everybody assumed I was tough. Whether that was true or not really made no difference. But you got to understand how you deal with bullies. I'm not fearful of these people. In fact, if one walked up to me today, I wouldn't hesitate to say exactly what I think. These people don't want to wade into a fight. If you're afraid of them, they're like a dog. If you run from them, they will chase you. But if you stand up to them, they will back off. Now, I'm 63 years old. At one time in my life, maybe I was kind of tough. I'm not tough anymore. I'm old. I'm not as strong as I once was. I can't run as fast as I once did. Fuck, I can't run at all as far as I know. But here's the thing that I have over every Trump-la-fuck. I'm a million times smarter than they are. And when you get in one of these confrontations, it's a very psychological thing. You're not only debating the facts, but it's a matter of superiority. And these people respond to that kind of behavior. If you walk in and you're sure of things and you put them in your place and you don't flinch a bit, they immediately back off because they're not fighters. They may threaten a fight, but they'll never fight. I've dealt with this situation before with people in my family and people on the street. Now, that doesn't mean you can't take somebody can't take a swing at you. But as far as me not being as tough as I once was, I can tell you this, I can take a hell of a punch. And if I take a hell of a punch, this guy, whoever does it, is going to have problems. I may not beat him in the fight, but again, I'm smarter than they are. I will make sure they pay a price ultimately, and there are any numbers of ways to do that. The important thing, Carrie, is when you go into life, the moment you're scared of anything, that's when you lose. That's when people seek you out and try to hurt you. When you are a target, a mark, you are weak. When I walk down the streets, when I talk to somebody, I don't hesitate. I'm not weak. I'm strong. I'm in your face to a certain extent. And people usually don't fuck with you. I've been in situations before where somebody's questioned something. Well, like I was talking about with that mechanic, the one that Pete gave me so much trouble about. Well, when I was with that mechanic, here's a guy, a working man. He's probably in his 30s, and he's talking to me. And I'm just this old fuck questioning his veracity. But you know what? He backed down right away because he knew I had an edge going into this. I knew what he was doing, and I could expose what he's doing. So instead of arguing with me or threatening me, he just backed off and said, all right. You got to be strong in life. You got to face up to people, and 9 times out of 10, those fuckers will back down. So am I fearful of some Trump-la-fuck walking up to me and causing me harm? No, I'm not. Not at all. In fact, I welcome any Trump-la-fuck to walk up to me, and I'll guarantee you, when I'm done with them, they'll walk away with their tail between their legs. And in some cases, those folks down south, those cousin fuckers, they will have literal tails between their legs. Carrie, thank you very much. I don't even know if she listens to the podcast. If she doesn't, she should. But thank you for your concern. All right. We have the first email that we're going to talk about. This one comes from Dennis. Dennis is a frequent emailer. And he says, hi, Mike, what do you think of this theory? The theory goes that both the cases in New York and Georgia are ready to go. All the evidence is there. They're ready to pull the trigger on the indictments. DOJ is getting very close, and their cases are far more important due to national security. Jack Smith contacted both New York and Georgia and told them to hold off as he finishes up his case and serves the first indictments. There's definitely been an increase in speed, especially regarding Trump's lawyer. The other two cases, especially the New York one, are less relevant. And because of that, it will water down all three cases. I think Jack Smith is going to serve up the first indictment. Then Atlanta goes next. And then New York is just the cherry on the top. And then all of the civil cases are the sprinkles on top of that shit cake that's going to be forced down Trump's man pleaser. I almost wasn't able to say that. Never heard that term before, Dennis. I'm going to use it. I would love to hear your thoughts. I'm not sure how likely it is, but if it goes in this order, you definitely owe me a Coke. Period. Deal. Question mark. Dennis, I'm glad you put that period in there because it otherwise would have said, or you owe me a Coke deal. And I don't play that game, Dennis, for Christ's sake. And he winds this up saying, also, I think Pete played you. There is no way that someone listens to your content and gets upset about one silly misword in your mechanic story. I really think that Pete was just being sarcastic. I think you got played, Mike. Haha, regardless, it was super funny to hear you get all fired up. That shit had me rolling. Anyways, have a fantastic day, my friend. He tried to play me. He didn't play me because I wasn't going to take his shit. Was he being sarcastic? Was he a fan just trying to be funny? I don't think so. He was trying too hard to embarrass me. And you got to understand, even though I block most Trumplafucks, they still come through. They're like cockroaches. They keep coming. And that's the kind of wording that they use. They'll pick up something very small. And you have to understand something else. When you're on the radio, having been on the radio for 40 years, there's something about certain people in your audience. I could be on the radio talking and saying something and making a mistake, a minor mistake. Now, let's be honest. If you listen to the podcast, I make plenty of mistakes. I try to correct them when I can, or if I don't know, I just keep moving on. So I make mistakes. There's no question about it. But there are certain people in any audience that are just waiting for some simple little tiny mistake to point it out. I don't know why that is, why I'm put to a higher standard where I just cannot make mistakes in their minds. But they're out there, and they get a little frustrating now and again. Normally, I ignore them, but Pete was just trying too hard. And like I said, if you point out I did something wrong and you're respectful about it, I'll accept it. I will change it. I don't listen to anybody. There's two people I will listen to, my wife and the listeners of this podcast. Because when it comes down to it, it was like this in radio too. I had guys in suits always trying to tell me what I should and shouldn't do. And I said, fuck yourself. But when the listeners called me up and said, Mike, maybe you should do this instead or should say this instead, I would listen to it because they, for all intents and purposes, are my boss. Same thing here with the podcast. I'm here to inform, maybe entertain you listeners. So you're the whole reason I'm here. And if you have questions, comments, suggestions, I have to take it in account. That's the least I can do. Now, I'm not necessarily always going to take your advice, but I'll give you the respect to consider it. All right. And fuck Pete. Next one comes from Jeff from Ohio. He says, hey, Mike, I've become one of your newest fans. I drive for a living, and after I listen to my local country station in the morning, I flip over to your podcast. I've been very confused over this deficit and debt ceiling and their differences. I also don't understand why Social Security has anything to do with them. Why, if those mangy assholes on the right hold out increasing the debt ceiling, why can't the Social Security checks be sent out? That money isn't federal tax money, just confused. Thanks for your time. And it's signed Jeff from Ohio, and then he writes, O-H, you're supposed to say I-O. I don't get it, Jeff. I'm a little slow. You know that if you listen. I'll figure it out. Okay. Now, as I've said before, I'm not the smartest guy in the world. I'm just like that teacher who reads ahead of the class or takes the time to dig into it. And I'll tell you this, I'm just as confused or was just as confused about the debt and the deficit. I would mix them up from time to time. So what I did, it's a little secret, little known podcast secret. You know what I did? I Googled that shit. And I have this explanation of debt as opposed to deficit, and it makes some sense. The debt is the total amount of money the U.S. government owes. It represents the accumulation of past deficits minus surpluses. Debt is like the balance on your credit card statement, which shows the total amount you've accrued over time. So the deficit is the overall amount that you've owed. But it also shows or figures in what's been paid back. So like I would say, if my debt was $1,000 and I paid back $500, the deficit would be $500. I don't know, something like that. But the deficit is the sum total of all, or the debts is a sum total of all the deficits and surpluses that have been applied to it. It's like if you're doing your checkbook. Now, you asked one question. I thought you asked another, but I'm going to address both. And this comes, and I'm reading this shit because I Googled it. I'm not smart enough to know this, but I'm smart enough to Google this shit. This comes from the Economic Policy Institute. And I'm first going to talk to, and this isn't what you asked, I understand that, but people always try to figure out how the Social Security ties into the debt. And I don't know that it really does, but let me explain to you the current status of Social Security. Currently, Social Security is running a surplus of $77 billion this year and amassing a trust fund large enough to last through the peak retirement years of baby boomers. And that's big, because there's like 70 million baby boomers. Social Security can only spend what it receives in tax revenues and has accumulated in its trust fund from past surpluses and interest earnings. So what that means is they collect money from people paying for Social Security. And in the past, when they've had surpluses, they've put them into investments and got interest, and they put that in another pile to go to should they need it. It cannot add to the deficit if the trust fund is exhausted because the law prohibits it from borrowing. If current revenues and savings in the trust fund are not sufficient to pay promised benefits, these have to be cut. Though modest changes will be needed to put the Social Security in balance over the 75-year planning period, the projected shortfall is less than 1% of gross domestic product. Social Security Trust Fund is projected to grow to a peak of about $4 trillion by 2024. At that point, Social Security will begin tapping its trust fund to help pay promised benefits. The trust fund itself is projected to run out by 2037. I'll be dead by then. I'll be 97. If the Congress does not act to shore up Social Security's finances before the trust fund runs out, then benefits would have to be cut by an estimated 22% because of payroll taxes would be lower than the benefit outlays, and Social Security would not be allowed to make up the shortfall by borrowing. As a result, Social Security cannot and would not add to the federal deficit when its trust fund is exhausted. Even if Congress changed the law and turned to general revenues to pay promised benefits, this would increase the budget deficit by only 4 to 7%. While this is more than a drop in the bucket, it would not be a major driver for the federal deficit, unlike rising health care costs or making the Bush tax cut permanent. It's a lot, but it makes more sense to me, and hopefully it'll make more sense to you. Now, if they don't raise the debt ceiling, why would we not get our Social Security checks? I understand what you're saying, that we're paying this stuff, but the federal government is managing it. And if we default on our loans, everything just stops. Everything's just frozen. Nobody gets anything. No money leaves Washington, D.C. We're in default of our loans. So they may have to go to other areas to pay for those loans. The important thing I will tell you, though, it's not going to happen. You don't need to fucking worry about it, Jeff. We are going to raise the debt limit. There is no question about that. There is no one, including Republicans, that want to see that happen. It will be devastating for the middle class, but it'll be even more devastating for the wealthy. So who's going to be happy about this? Fucking nobody. The Republicans may act like they're going to be hard asses and try to do this, but they're not. They're not. They have more to lose than the Democrats, and they're going to throw this country into an economic disaster, if not the world. Trust me, it's not going to happen. They will raise the debt limit at the last moment, and all will be fine. And all this dicking around will amount to nothing. That's how it's been in the past. That's how it will be in the future. There is no positive situation. Let me explain something to you about a threat. And I tried to explain this to people before, and it's something I understand. If I'm threatening you to do something, or I'll do something, that's when you're at the strongest point. The moment I follow through on my threat, then my gun's empty. I blew my wad. I can do no more. I have to deal with the after effects of whatever happens when I blow my wad, as it were. And then I've got nothing else. Now, all of a sudden, I'm weak. This is why the Republicans won't do anything. They're going to push it to the limit. They're going to hope against hope that the Democrats cave. And if they don't, the Republicans are going to have to cave. They have to. All of the people that put money in their pockets, the wealthy, the corporations, the lobbyists, and all this shit, they stand to lose a ton of money. Do you think the Republicans are going to be allowed to do that? Absolutely not. And if they did, it would destroy the party. 2024 would be a walk in the park for any Democrat you wanted to put up there. It's not going to happen. It's never happened in like 60 years. It's not going to happen now. Mitch McConnell, a lot of other people have said that. Now, we're going to raise the debt limit. We're not going to dick around with this. It's a no-win situation for everybody. And I'll grant you, Trumplafux and Donald Trump will triple down until they fall off a cliff. But there's enough people that are going to be affected by that, that they are going to feel pressure like they've never felt pressure before. So that's what could happen, but honestly, don't worry about it. All right. More bad news for Donald Trump. Yesterday, a federal judge ordered several top aides to former President Donald Trump to testify before a grand jury as part of a criminal investigation into Trump's efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election. Trump's legal team tried to claim executive privilege to get his former aides out of testifying and providing documents to Special Counsel Jack Smith, who had issued subpoenas as part of a broader probe into the January 6, 2021 attack on the Capitol. But in a sealed order last week, Judge Beryl Howell rejected Trump's efforts and ordered Mark Meadows, his former chief of staff, to testify, among others. Howell also ordered testimony from John Ratcliffe, Trump's former director of national intelligence, Robert O'Brien, his former national security advisor, Stephen Creepy Miller, his former top aide, and Dan Scavino, his former deputy chief of staff. None of these fucks wanted to talk, and they did everything they could to stop it. Also, Ken Cuccinelli, a former top official at the Department of Homeland Security, was also included in the judge's order. So were former Trump aides Nick Luna and John McEntee. Trump's legal team is expected to appeal Howell's decision per ABC News. Now, Howell in October rejected Trump's claims of executive privilege to block testimony from some of former Vice President Mike Pence's top aides, Greg Jacob and Mark Short, In that decision, the judge ruled that it's up to the current president to exert executive privilege, not a former president. And that really is the key to all of this. Executive privilege is only a privilege that can be taken by a sitting president. Now, in spite of what the Republicans, the psycho QAnon following fuckheads that think Donald Trump's still president, that's not the case. 2.5 years, Joe Biden's still in the Oval Office. Donald Trump is still down in Mar-a-Lago shitting his pants, literally. So he's not the president. He doesn't have the right of any executive privilege because he's a fucking nobody. He's under investigation and soon he'll be under indictment. And thereafter, he'll probably be convicted of multiple felonies. So he has less leverage than the average Joe. He's a problem for this country. He's a problem for the security of this country. And we'll talk more about that. But here's the thing. Mark Meadows, particularly the chief of staff, he's very close to Donald Trump. He was the man standing next to Donald Trump during the January 6th insurrection. If you remember, he was kind of the middleman. Everybody that wanted to talk to Donald Trump had to go through Mark Meadows. When Donald Trump wanted to get messages to those fuckheads, he would go through Mark Meadows. Donald Trump doesn't use a cell phone, or at least so we've heard. Other times I've heard he has used cell phones or somebody else's cell phone. But Mark Meadows was the intermediary between the insurrectionist and Donald Trump. Now, Mark Meadows did turn over a bunch of documents to the January 6th committee, which was very helpful. Not sure why he did that, but he refused to testify. Then the DOJ said, "We want you to testify." They gave him a subpoena. He said, "No, I'm not going to do it." So that's why we're in court, and that's why this judge said, "No, you've got to testify, motherfucker." She didn't say that, but I'm sure she was thinking it. So now he could conceivably appeal to the Supreme Court. I suppose that's possible, but that may work against him too. You know, these guys are seeing what's going on with Donald Trump. They say he's nearing his end. They see he's going to go down the shitter. These guys may be looking at, you know, maybe it's time to pull the trigger. Maybe it's time to throw Donald Trump under the bus. How far can I sink even further than I am already? At some point, it's got to spark something in their mind that says, you know, maybe this is a loser. Maybe I should do something. Not exactly sure how it's going to play out. They may come in and plead the fifth, which won't work the best for them. That's not going to benefit them. That's like acknowledging that they broke some laws. And if they, in fact, broke some laws, then they're going to want to cut a deal. They're not going to jail for Donald Trump. They have lives, they have families, they have careers, and they're younger than Donald Trump. So they're going to want to save their ass. No one is dumb. Well, I won't say no one's dumb enough to sit in jail for Donald Trump, because there's about like 700 Trumplafucks that attack the Capitol that are sitting in jail. But these guys, this upper level group of people like Mark Meadows and Stephen Miller and all these fucks, they don't have the greatest integrity. They will ride the horse until the horse is done, and then they'll send the horse to the glue factory, the horse being Donald Trump. So I don't see them fighting this too hard. Now, Donald Trump might step up and try to force something. But here's the thing. Donald Trump's got so many fucking things he's got to deal with. He's got the situation in New York. He's got the situation in Georgia. He's got the situation in the DOJ. And I think the emailer before probably has this right. They're all right on the precipice of dumping on Donnie Trump. And I think it's conceivable, like he said, that they may be trying to strategize and organize the chronological order of who's going to indict first. And I think the emailer had a good point. Hit them with the strongest one, maybe the kill shot, and then follow up with Georgia and then New York. That may be the smart way to do it. Whether that's how it will happen, I don't know. But that makes some sense. It makes some sense given that we thought the Manhattan District might indict last week, this past week, and they didn't. Now, that said, this can all go to shit. If Monday comes along, the grand jury in New York gets together again, and then they indict him. I still hold to what I've always said. We only need one indictment, and it really doesn't matter which one, because it will start the ball rolling, the snowball rolling down the hill, and it will pick up speed quickly, and it will pick up more snow, and it will be a horrific ride for Donald Trump. There is no question in my mind. It would be nice to see Jack Smith come out first, because he is clearly the strongest and he has the most serious crimes. When he gets hit with that, the crimes of Georgia and New York won't mean as much, because he's not going to survive with whatever Jack Smith hits him with. It's just going to be piling on at that point. So it will be interesting to see if these fucks, Mark Meadows and the other people, Stephen Smith, actually testify, or if they do appeal it to the Supreme Court. I don't think it much matters, because the Supreme Court, is partisan as they are, this is about a simple legal opinion. And they can't just make up something different from the legal opinion. If they were to do something other than tell these guys they have to testify, there would be hell to pay. So I don't see that as something that's really coming at this point. All right, we'll take a quick break and we will be right back. Well, while we're waiting to find out if Mark Meadows and Stephen Smith and all those other fucks will actually testify, Donald Trump's got some bigger problems. Because Trump lawyer Evan Corcoran testified, actually went in and testified Friday under court order and the crime fraud exception before the federal grand jury investigating former President Donald Trump's handling of the sensitive government documents. Now, the situation with Meadows and Smith and all those fucks, that's regarding the insurrection on January 6th. This is about the classified documents that Donald Trump stole. Now, Corcoran was spotted going into the federal courthouse in Washington, D.C. shortly before 9 a.m. Eastern Time. Now, Corcoran had been ordered to appear and answer questions about his interactions with former President Donald Trump under the crime fraud exception, meaning he could not assert attorney-client privilege to avoid testifying about their discussions. Now, U.S. District Judge Beryl Howell, she signed off on the request by Special Counsel Jack Smith to force Corcoran to testify after finding he presented sufficient evidence to establish that Trump committed a crime through his attorneys, a source briefed on the proceedings confirmed to NBC News on Wednesday. Just to remind you what this was all about, you'll remember when Donald Trump stole all the classified documents, the National Archives says we want them back. He sent some of them back, and they said, no, wait, you got more. Donald Trump said, no, I don't have more. And then Evan Corcoran, who was his lawyer, drafted a sworn affidavit that said, we did a diligent search. There is no more classified documents. Then he made another lawyer, Christina Bobb, signed it, and they sent it to the DOJ and the National Archives. Well, they were still unconvinced, so they issued a search warrant, went into Mar-a-Lago, and surprise, 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 they found more classified documents. So that sworn affidavit to the DOJ was a lie. and that was illegal. Now, the first thing to do would be to go after the lawyers. You lied to us. You are officers of the court. You should fucking know better. And we thought at that point that they would get disbarred or fined or sanctioned or some kind of shit. But that's not what happened. Because there's another option to this whole thing, and that option would be that President Trump told them what was up, and they just took it on faith, which shows a certain amount of stupidity by these lawyers, because I think we all know Donald Trump is a pathological liar. I don't know that I would risk my career drafting an affidavit based on Donald Trump's word, but Donald Trump is their boss, and for whatever reason, we see these people being just sycophants and ass suckers and all this stuff. So for whatever reason, these stupid fucks did it. Well, so Jack Smith is putting some pressure on this lawyer, Evan Corcoran, the guy who drafted the affidavit. And all of a sudden it comes out, we're hearing that, Donald Trump told us that it was all cleared out. We didn't know that. That still is questionable behavior by a lawyer, but it kind of gets them off the hook if they throw Donald Trump under the bus. This lawyer will not see jail time if he gives evidence against Donald Trump. Now, how we know he might actually have given some evidence is this. His lawyers, Donald Trump's lawyers have to have lawyers now. His lawyer said he will not plead the fifth, and he is compelled to testify. Well, if he's compelled to testify and he's not going to plead the fifth, he can't help but throw Donald Trump under the bus. Why is he doing that? So he's getting a deal so he doesn't get prosecuted, and he's going to tell whatever Donald Trump said and or did. This has got to be weighing pretty heavily on Donald Trump's mind. As I've said before, they work their way from the bottom to the lowest common denominator all the way to the top being Donald Trump. But you can't get any closer to the top than Donald Trump, than his lawyer. That's about as close as it can get. And frankly, with regards to the classified documents case, this may be the kill shot. Because Donald Trump, without question, did steal the documents. He had possession of those documents. He lied about having more of those documents. All of those are crimes. And a lawyer that's involved in this can be held culpable as well. So they want to bail on this fucker, and they want to throw him under the bus so they don't go to jail. And once again, I brought this up yesterday in the podcast, something that's kind of interesting. It may be something, maybe it's not, but it sounds like something. When this whole process started to get Corcoran to testify, it went very fast. Now, maybe people are just getting tired of Donald Trump delaying. Or maybe there's something more urgent going on here. Like I said, he got the crime fraud exception on the attorney-client privilege. That means a crime may have been committed or a crime may be ongoing. And as I said yesterday, that crime that may be ongoing might mean that they still have more documents, or maybe they have proof that he distributed these documents to people from adversarial countries, maybe enemy countries. And the only reason we think that might be the case is because we know they found a laptop where some of these documents were copied on the laptop and then copied onto a thumb drive. The only reason you would do that is because you want to distribute that shit. And you throw that all on a table in front of Evan Corcoran, Donald Trump's lawyers, and he's going to say, let's talk. Now, Evan Corcoran testified for about 3 hours in front of the DOJ. In June of 2022, Christina Bob, another Trump attorney, signed the letter that Evan Corcoran wrote, stating to her knowledge no government documents were at the residence. August's search showed that claim to be untrue. Bob, who also testified, alleges Corcoran urged her to sign the letter. Now, you remember, Christina Bob did testify, and Evan Corcoran fought it to no avail because, as I said, he testified yesterday for about 3 hours. Now, former federal prosecutor Harry Littman offered his assessment of Corcoran's testimony, which was not made public. On the Corcoran testimony, I think that's the biggest event of the week, because if you think about it, we're talking about 15 months where Trump bobs and weaves and stalls, Littman said, referring to the wrangling over the documents between Trump and the government. It's the crystalline moment when he chooses to be a criminal, when that declaration was signed. See, that's the thing. Donald Trump kept saying all they had to do was ask for it. Well, they did ask for it a number of times. 15 months they delayed this shit. So it was intentional. He was specifically trying to hide this stuff. Steal it, then hide it. Now, Littman added that Corcoran likely has notes, transcriptions, and recordings from his discussions with Trump. He said he suspects Corcoran's testimony will be damaging to Trump so long as he did not invoke his Fifth Amendment right against potential self-incrimination. I think that's going to be devastating on the Mar-a-Lago case, Littman said, unless Corcoran takes the Fifth. But his lawyer said he wasn't going to take the Fifth. Representative Eric Swalwell, who was also a guest on the segment, interrupted to ask Littman a question. He said, can I just ask Harry, because he's the expert here, if Corcoran is granted immunity, would he not be able to take the Fifth instead? Would he risk contempt, and that's the way to get it? 100%, Littman replied. So that would be the second step, but it's very possible for Corcoran. Littman concluded, yes, that's the way to go with Corcoran, and we don't know yet. Did he take the Fifth today, or did he actually follow his lawful duty? Well, we don't know for sure, but I got to believe he talked. It's just too deep right now. If he pleads the Fifth to create a delay, it's just going to cause him more problems. What he's really going to want is immunity. And now is the time to get that immunity. So I don't think he's going to wait on that. Do you want to spend the next 3 months wondering if you're going to jail? Have to tell your wife and kids that you're going away for a long time because you helped Donald Trump? If you're a lawyer, you have to be somewhat bright. I can't imagine that's what he's doing. Now, Donald Trump is literally shitting himself. Well, let's be honest. He's been shitting himself for 20 years, but now he's shitting himself because he knows he's in trouble. And he's particularly interested in what's going on in the Manhattan District because he sees that as the imminent indictment, the almost guaranteed indictment that's going to drop at some point very soon. So Donald Trump headed over to Truth Social. That's contradictory. Truth and Donald, they don't know each other. Anyway, he posted this on Truth Social. What kind of person can charge another person in this case, a former president of the United States who got more votes than any sitting president in history and leading candidate by far for the Republican Party nomination, with a crime when it's known by all that no crime has been committed, and also known that the potential death and destruction in such a false charge could be catastrophic for our country? Why and who would do such a thing? Only a degenerate psychopath that truly hates the USA. I got to tell you, Donald Trump's writing skills are about the level of third grade. He's got some run-on sentences here that make no fucking sense. But the real important thing that he said in this particular Truth Social post is, and also known that potential death and destruction in such a false charge could be catastrophic for our country. And then he put a question mark after it. Does he not know how to use question marks and periods and exclamation points? Does he not get it? But anyway, by him saying that, it's almost as if it's a threat. It's almost as if it's an incitement, not unlike what happened on January 6th. Or when he told people to protest, and take your country back. He's really working hard to get these Trump-la-fucks worked up to fight for him. He gets off on this somehow. It's not going to work this time around. There are going to be crazies here and there, but there's not going to be large groups of anybody attacking fucking anything because they are bullies and cowards, and they think they're going to get arrested. They think it's some federal FBI trick. What do they call it? A honey trap. Get them in there so they can arrest them. Well, they aren't going to arrest them unless they do something stupid, but when you get a group of stupid people together, eventually there's going to be some stupid shit. Now, as I said, there is not going to be the big groups of people charging anything, but there are going to be a crazy fuck here and now and again, and there was one. It happened yesterday. As the Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg's office continued to lead a criminal investigation into Donald Trump, they received a threatening letter containing a white powder on Friday. The envelope and its contents came amid repeated attacks on Bragg by Trump, who on Thursday called the prosecutor an animal. The letter, which postmarks indicated it was mailed Tuesday, from Orlando. Fucking great. I'm going to Georgia and I have to fly into Orlando to get to Georgia. Fuck, I hate Florida. Came with a note reading, "Elvin, I'm going to kill you." And then there was like 10 or 12 exclamation points. Now, this guy knows how to use punctuation. He should talk to Donald Trump. Now, he's a dumb fuck himself for doing this, but at least he knows how to use punctuation. The powder was discovered in the mailroom and found to be non-hazardous. Man, they went old school with that. Remember when putting powder in different envelopes was real popular? You know, it would be anthrax or ricin or something like that. Well, this is a Trump-la-fuck, and it goes back to what I said before. They're all paper tigers. They talk loud, but they are gutless motherfuckers. So this note threatened the life of Alvin Bragg. Now, I'm not sure Alvin Bragg is real worried about it. He's well protected. And besides, these fuckers are just paper tigers. And the powder in there, that's so 2000. Not 2023, but that's what you'd expect out of a Trump-la-fuck. They're not the smartest motherfuckers in the world. Now, I think he thinks he's going to scare Alvin Bragg. Have you ever seen Alvin Bragg? He's a big motherfucker. I don't think he gets scared. But you know what I do think is going to happen? He's going to get pissed. And he may take the brunt of it out on Donald Trump, but with the indictment. He's going to indict him anyway, so you might as well twist it a little bit. But he's going after that motherfucker, too. I know he thinks he's smart because he probably didn't put a return address on it, but it is a Trump-la-fuck, so we've seen dumber shit than that. But anyway, I'll guarantee you that letter will go to the FBI and they will dig hard and deep and they will find that motherfucker and he will finally know what it means to fuck around and find out. Now, Manhattan prosecutors are believed to have presented evidence against Trump to a grand jury, which will decide whether the evidence is sufficient to move forward with charges. Their decision could come as soon as next week, soon as Monday. Now, Bragg's investigation stems from the Stormy Daniels affair. His former attorney and fixer, Michael Cohen, admitted to paying off Daniels and served prison time. Donald Trump was an unindicted co-conspirator, and as a co-conspirator, theoretically, since Michael Cohen was convicted, you would assume Donald Trump would be convicted of the very same crime. And as I mentioned earlier, the former president also warned of potential death and destruction if he's charged. His prediction last week that he would be arrested on Tuesday did not, of course, pan out, but the hush money investigation is just one of several legal woes that Trump has. But think about this. Donald Trump goes out there, talks about death and destruction, and on the very next day, Alvin Bragg gets a threatening letter. That could be considered incitement. Or if he gets an indictment and then all of a sudden there is some kind of riot, some kind of violence, something like that, then that can be considered incitement too. That will be yet another charge. This is how stupid Donald Trump is. Special Counsel Jack Smith's probe into Trump's handling of classified document found at his home, that's ongoing. Georgia is ongoing. Like I say, all of these things seem to be on the precipice of dropping indictments. And can you imagine what's going to happen when he gets hit with one indictment and when he's spinning around on that motherfucker, another one hits him, and then a third one hits him, and maybe a fourth one hits him, because he's got two cases with the DOJ. He's got the classified documents on January 6th in Georgia. He's got the crime of trying to overturn the Georgia election in 2020, and of course Stormy Daniels up in New York. Can you imagine what is going to happen to Donald Trump if he gets hit with four indictments? It doesn't even matter if he gets convicted. That is going to fuck his life up so much and keep him so busy. This guy won't have a chance to run for the presidency. I mean, I don't think he can get the nomination anyway, whether he gets indictments or not. But those indictments will seal the deal. He won't get anywhere at that point. He will be fucked. Now, during an appearance on MSNBC's Morning Joe, regular contributor, you've heard of him, Donnie Deutsch, reacted to what co-host Mika Brzezinski and Joe Scarborough called Donald Trump's Day of Rage. On Thursday, there were the former president fired off multiple racist and anti-Semitic attacks at the Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. Now, just hours after Trump threatened death and destruction, if he's indicted on misdemeanor charges of making hush money payments to film star Stormy Daniels, Deutsch, a former longtime friend of Trump's from his New York City days, claimed his former pal is obviously scared to death over his legal problems. And if he wasn't, it would be surprising. Now, Jonathan Lemire asked him, "You are someone who has known Donald Trump for a long time. There is reporting this week about him being arrested this week, how it will be a good publicity." That's what Donald Trump said. "Oh, I'm looking forward to the perp walk. This will be good publicity. You know, smile for the cameras, where there to be a perp walk." He's all excited about that. Lemire went on to say, "This man who clearly, and these posts show, wants nothing to do with being charged with a crime." Deutsch said, "I think for his base, they love it because it's going to show how tough Donald Trump is." But Deutsch goes on to say, "I don't think he loses a lot of votes, but he certainly loses the opportunity to get back any of those independents, any of the suburban voters. And I think the Reverend Al Sharpton really kind of nailed it in the last hour. you're really seeing this is a frightened man at this point. I'm going to use some of his terms. This is a caged animal who's backed into a corner, he continued. He's looking that way, and he's acting that way, and he's unhinged. And it's so frightening, though, when he went through those disgusting anti-Semitic racial tropes, that Soros-backed animal, you might as well say dirty Jew black animal. You might as well say those words, because that is what he's saying. And the fact that other Republicans, including Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, the number one challenger, does the same thing, does the Soros thing, the same Jew backing this black man, and one used the word master. I think that was at least Stefanik and whatnot. That's the stunning talk. We know Trump is insane. Now, this is a former friend. He added, we know he has lost his mind. We know he's continually shriveling away. This is somebody who knows Donald Trump very well. This is all things we would say about him based on what we're hearing. But this is a guy who knows how Donald Trump acts. To be perfectly honest, with all that's going on, if he isn't scared to death, there's something severely wrong with him. I mean, his life is hanging by a thread. I mean his life. I don't mean some kind of violence or death. I mean the remainder of his life is finished. Whether he's sent to jail or on house arrest or just destroyed financially and become a pariah in this country, his life is over as he knows it. So it's going to be very interesting to see how he reacts in the coming weeks. As the heat gets hotter and the indictments start to fall, if you think Donald Trump is at his craziest right now, you're going to be surprised. It's going to get crazier yet. So just watch. And speaking of crazy, let's talk about Representative Jim Jordan, this big joke of a representative. Representative Jim Jordan repeatedly refused to comment on Donald Trump's ominous death and destruction warning. People went up to him and said, this is what Donald Trump said. What do you think? The former president, of course, lashed out overnight at Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. He seemed to suggest his supporters would react violently if he were indicted. And the NBC News correspondent Sahil Kapoor asked the Ohio Republicans' reaction to Truth Social post. What do you think he said? He asked Representative Jim Jordan what he makes of Trump's warning about potential death and destruction if indicted. Jordan said he hasn't seen Trump's post. Oh, really? It's everywhere. It's on every TV network. It's on every publication. It's all over the internet. But Jordan didn't have time to see it. Maybe it was because he's planning another hearing that's going to make him look like a joke. Then when the reporter showed this to him on his phone, he said he can't read well without his glasses. He added he's reviewing D.A. Bragg's letter, the letter that D.A. Bragg sent to Jim Jordan that basically said, fuck yourself, you don't know what you're talking about. So he hadn't seen the story about what Donald Trump said regarding death and destruction. And when the guy pulled it up on his phone, he said, I don't have my glasses. I don't have my glasses. I can't see it. What a pussy-ass bitch. What a stupid piece of shit. This guy constantly gets embarrassed. Now, Jordan and two other Republican House Committee chairmen asked the district attorney's office for documents and an interview with Bragg, as I've told you. And the fact of the matter is, it's not lawful, and Bragg isn't going to do fuck all with these idiots. It's amazing to me. You take somebody who goes and looks so foolish all the time, and they still give this guy respect in the Republican Party. They still pay homage to this dumb motherfucker. I do not get it. Speaking about dumb motherfuckers, let's talk about Marjorie Taylor Greene. Once again, she was embarrassed. retired U.S. Army Sergeant and Iraq War veteran Christopher Goldsmith criticized Republican lawmakers on Friday for visiting a Washington, D.C. jail where some January 6 defendants were being held. The congressional delegation is led by Marjorie Taylor Greene, who expressed sympathy for those January 6 inmates. Marjorie Taylor Greene and Lauren Boebert and the rest of those far-right Republican fucks care about January 6 defendants exactly as much as they care about veterans, Goldsmith said during an appearance on MSNBC. We are great photo ops for them. We're great fundraising tools for them. But I know from walking around Capitol Hill for years and trying to talk to Republicans about improving veterans' health care that they will not get involved in anything meaningful like criminal justice reform. They're going to send out a bunch of emails. They're going there to get a bunch of donations from their rubes, and those people are going to still sit in prison because they broke the law. Yeah, he nailed it. This is exactly what those fucks do. That's where they belong. They are being treated with due process the way that anybody else who breaks the law is going to get treated, Goldsmith said. So, you know, I'm disappointed to see them do that, but these people disappoint me every day, so it's no surprise. Aren't the Republicans supposed to be the best friend of our servicemen? Thank you for your service. But we're not going to serve you at all. We're not going to help you at all. Since we're on a roll with embarrassing stories, let's talk about Representative Andy Biggs, that dumb fuck. He was on C-SPAN's Washington Journal on Friday, and he received a lashing from callers and a quick fact check from host Greta Brawner after Biggs flubbed a key fact surrounding the January 6 prosecutions. See, this is what I don't understand. Somebody like Andy Biggs, who's not the brightest guy, and he's constantly spewing shit that's wrong or just a flat-out lie. He's so ego-driven that he's stupid enough to sit down on C-SPAN in a talk show, not only take questions from a reporter, but let people call in and talk to him. He really thinks he's a popular guy. He really thinks the MAGA fucks are the majority of this country. That's the only way I can possibly explain it. Because if you know you're going to walk on there and get your ass kicked, why would you do it? Now, Biggs chairs the hard-right House Freedom Caucus. He was asked by a caller to defend former President Donald Trump's vow to pardon January 6 rioter. Trump wants a pardon for traitors that have been convicted of seditious conspiracy. Come on, what the hell is wrong with you Republicans, the caller asked through though somewhat distorted audio. This is what Biggs said. Yeah, well, I appreciate the call, and I'm not sure I understand what you're saying, but I think you're talking about the former president saying that if he gets elected, that he would issue some pardons or clemency to some of the people that were arrested and prosecuted on January 6th, Biggs replied. Well, yeah, you just repeated her question, but you didn't fucking answer it, you stupid son of a bitch. Not all were convicted of seditious treason. In fact, none were. And so that's important to understand. The second thing I would say is many of them were convicted of misdemeanor trespass. And I think that's important to understand as well. So I appreciate the call. Well, right there, you know he doesn't know what he's talking about or he's lying. Notably, so far, two trials of members of the far-right militia group Oath Keepers have, in fact, resulted in convictions of charges of seditious conspiracy. So, Mr. Biggs, you're wrong again, you dipshit. Brawner moved on to the next call. David from Ashland, Mississippi, an independent. Thank you for taking my call. Yes, sir, Mr. Biggs. Do you think that those conspired in the White House to overthrow the country with Donald Trump and Jeffrey Clark and all that should be held accountable? And exactly why did you ask for a pardon for Mark Meadows? I didn't ask for a pardon. That's been completely debunked. But you know, lies persist, so that's what's going to happen. I'm big enough to withstand the perpetual lie in that way. And the second thing is, there's been no indication that anybody attempted to overthrow the government with somebody named Jeffrey Clark, whom I don't believe I've ever met. So, you know, thanks for the perpetuation of the false narrative of the left, Biggs concluded. Congressman, USA Today, this is what the reporter said. Congressman, USA Today had this headline back in November of 2022 that Stuart Rhodes, the Oath Keepers founder, was found guilty of seditious conspiracy. Bronner noted, recalling the first of two trials. Oh, okay, yeah, well, I didn't follow that case. No, of course you didn't. You didn't have your glasses. You couldn't read it. Biggs quickly conceded. Media reports that Biggs sought a pardon from the Trump White House in the wake of the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol were based on under oath testimony from former Trump aides to the House January 6th committee. So Biggs is saying he didn't ask for a pardon for Mark Meadows, and he's doing it in the media. Yet people he knows and people that witnessed the situation under oath said he did. This is how it's falling apart for the Republicans. They keep getting exposed. They keep getting exposed for the lies and the bullshit they spew. But you know what? They're so arrogant, so in your face, so blatant, they keep lying. You know what? If you're a little kid and you lie to your mom and you get caught in the lie, even a little kid knows, all right, the jig's up. I better tell the truth. Not these motherfuckers. They don't have the capability to understand that they're caught and they look stupid. They just refuse and refuse and refuse to admit that they lied. Well, it's going to come down to court cases, and you can refuse to lie all you want, and you can continue to perpetuate that lie when you're sitting in fucking jail. And I think Andy Biggs is one of those people in the sitting members of Congress that may very well be looking at indictments, prosecution, and convictions. All right, we are going to wrap up the Rational Boomer podcast. I want to thank you for taking time out of your day to listen. I hope you have a great day, and we will talk to you again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Rational Boomer podcast. Don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. We'll see you next time.